the prophetic encoding of signs. Science does not create, they only discover. The DNA defines your genetic packaging. You are a sum total of different traits. In our destiny as sons, there's also a spiritual prophetic package. We have been born by the word of God. The seed, the Greek word for seed is sperma, from which we got the word sperm. So the DNA, you see the DNA, you can get the DNA in the blood, in the sperm, in the saliva, in all the body fluids. So our spiritual DNA is in the sperma, the seed, the word of God, that was used to give birth as we were born by the word. Father, we thank you this morning for this blessed opportunity. Have mercy on us, even as your word is coming. Open the eyes of our understanding. Let your word find a place in our hearts. Let your word bear fruit. We thank you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for today. The last song we sang, some of you don't know where it came from. You know, one of our, I think, ministers' retreat, special forces retreat, and it came in a form of a tongue. One of our brothers gave the message in a tongue. He sang in a tongue, and somebody gave the interpretation of the tongue in a song. And then that's how this song came, the last song that we sang. Okay, we thank God for today, and today is 17th March 2019. We've been looking at sonship. We started by looking at a journey into sonship. That was the first in the series. And we went on to the mandate of sons. Then we talked about conforming to his image. The discipline of sons. Then we talked about the four faces of sons. F-A-C-E-S, faces. So when we go to the four faces, then we took each of the faces. The lion dimension of sons, the eagle dimension of sons, the ox dimension of sons. And last 2 weeks, we saw the humanity of sons. That even though we have the lion side, eagle side, ox side, we also have a human side, which we should not deny. But we should deny our human limitations, the opportunity to control and to limit us. And today, I want to talk about the prophetic encoding of signs. And it's actually, you can also see the DNA of signs. The prophetic encoding, how signs are prophetically packaged, encoded, which means that it has to be decoded. And I chose the DNA because what I'm talking about is the spiritual side of what DNA stands for in the natural side, or what DNA means in the natural side. DNA is deoxyribonucleic acid. That is the full name of DNA. You know, some people have heard DNA test, but they don't really know the full meaning. Deoxyribonucleic acid, that's DNA. Somebody said DNA is junior money. His niece asked him, "Uncle, what is the full meaning of DNA?" It's a DNA manihum. Now, DNA, according to science, you know, science discovers things which God has already created or made. So, science does not create; they only discover. Sometimes their discoveries are correct. Sometimes they are not correct. But according to science, there's a substance that is called molecule, or that is a molecule that carries genetic instructions. You know, that is genetic instruction, and they carry the genetic encoding or the genetic configuration of all known living organisms, and is used to determine the growth, development, functioning, and reproduction of living organisms. So, you know, sometimes we conduct DNA tests if you want to ascertain the paternity of a child. The DNA will let you know whether this person is a father. We can also ascertain the maternity, not only fathers, maternity of the child, that this child, this woman is the mother. We can also ascertain the sibling test, that these people, they are related, they are siblings. The DNA test can let you know that this one is your sibling. So if you don't know, or if you doubt whether somebody is your sibling, you can conduct a DNA test. Then we have what we call the avuncular test, which is to test whether somebody is your niece or nephew, or somebody is your uncle or auntie. You can conduct DNA to find it out. And even grandparentage test, the DNA can, if the focus of the test is to ascertain whether somebody is your grandparent or grandson, granddaughter, you can really get it through a DNA test. So the DNA simply is what constitutes your unique, and what shows your relationship, generation. You know, you can use it to trace your ancestry. And that's science for you. And according to science, you know, a child may resemble one of six people, or a child takes after six people. It's a combination, usually, in bits and pieces of six people. The father, the mother, the father's parents, and the mother's parents. So six people. So you can have a certain feature of yours resembling your grandfather or grandmother. You know, somebody saw me and he saw my hand here. Then the person told my mother that, do you know that he resembles your father? Look at his hand. You know, I overheard my little daughter, Krista, telling the other sister that she is daddy's daughter because her hands resemble daddy. So that one, you don't need a DNA test to confirm. Because look at her hand and my hand. So the DNA defines your genetic packaging. Genetic packaging. It means that you have something from other people that make you you. I mean, that you have certain things from other people that make you you. You are a sum total of different traits. Some of you, your eyes, you took your eyes from your grandfather, maybe your ears from your uncle, maybe your complexion from your mother. I've seen people who are fair, not as in white, you know, but fair colored, you know. And it's all because there was something in their genetic makeup that the children picked. There's the same thing also in the spirit. So it's like, you know, when you assemble car parts, when you take a typical car, any car, a car can have about 50 to 100 companies working on one car. Now, when you look at your car, you will see that if you observe the windscreen, you will see that the windscreen is from South Africa. The steer is from Norway. Many parts. If you want to know the real origin of a car, check the seatbelt. For the seatbelt, they will tell you where the car was manufactured. So this is manufactured from Japan or South Africa, but the windscreen says that it's made by a company in the US. So they assemble. Now, in our destiny as sons, there's also a spiritual prophetic packaging. Let's look at something in John 1:12-13. John 1:12-13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. The word children of God is the sons of God, is a technon. The son that is born as an infant, as a child, who must grow to become a mature son. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What it means is that our spiritual ancestry, or our spiritual constitution, is that it's not of blood. Number one, it means that it's not of human blood. It's not of the will of the flesh. It's not the will of a man, but of God. They were born not of blood, but they were born of God. They were born not of the will of the flesh or the will of the man, but born of God. Now, which means that when God calls us and we become born again, it is deemed that God gave birth to us. And so, everybody who is a born again, you have two lines. You have your natural bloodline, then you have your spiritual ancestry. The spiritual one is to God. We were born by God. It doesn't take away the natural one. That is of blood. Do you know that the same blood that was in Adam was used to create all men? According to Acts 17:26, it says, from one blood, God made all human beings to dwell on the face of the earth. From one blood. From one man. From one blood. So it's the same blood that was running through Adam is the same blood that is running through everybody. That is the natural connection. So we have a natural connection to Adam. I will show you how God kept that connection and connected us to Abraham, not Adam. Now, so we are born of God, and we are born by the seed of God. And according to 1 Peter 1:23, that seed is the incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. He said, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we have been born by the word of God. The seed, the Greek word for seed is sperma, from which we got the word sperm. So the DNA, and you see the DNA, you can get the DNA in the blood, in the sperm, in the saliva, in all the body fluids. So our spiritual DNA is in the sperma, the seed, the word of God, that was used to give birth to us. So we were born by the word. Hello? Yes, so that determines our prophetic, genetic, spiritual genetic packaging. We are all not the same. We are very different, diverse. And each believer has a peculiar spiritual prophetic packaging that you come to the earth with. And given the right diet and the right environment, you will only grow to be what you have already been prepared and packaged to be. Hello? Now, this seed I'm talking about, I want to let you know the prophetic packaging of the incorruptible seed. How God packaged the incorruptible seed. Now, God is a God of patterns. God works with patterns. In other words, when God wants to replicate, or then he makes sure that he puts everything he's going to need in the prototype, then he will multiply the prototype. So God went to the soil to form one body and never went back to the soil again. He went to the soil, took the dust of the earth, formed man, and he never went to the soil in forming other men. Even if he didn't go back to the soil. Why? Because he had created the prototype and he was going to multiply the prototype. So Adam's first blessing was be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. So God was going to multiply him after his kind. He was going to reproduce after his kind. And everything that God wanted to put in man was packaged in Adam, waiting for reproduction or multiplication, so that God can get many people like Adam. But you all know what happened. Adam sinned. And so the plan of God that was hidden before the foundation of the world was unveiled. And that plan was unveiled, but it was unveiled in a seed form. And because God is a just God and God goes by his word, God will not do anything on this earth without involving man. It's not going to be possible. So God had to change our connection. And he has to change the connection from Adam to Abraham. Now listen to this. There are two separate lines. We have the created order and the called by faith order. Adam is the head of the created order. He was the head of all those who were created. Abraham became the head of all those who were called by faith. So our connection to Abraham is a connection of faith. We will see later on that even Jesus Christ came out of Abraham's covenant. The whole Bible, from Genesis 12 to Revelation 22, is about Abraham's vision. Abraham was the father of the called order. When God called him, God took him through a process and God changed his nature. And therefore, he became the father of all those who walk by faith, who are called by faith. And now, because of our connection, everything that God promised Abraham is also ours. So you trace your spiritual ancestry to Abraham, And then our natural ancestry was traced to Adam. When Adam lost it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, when Adam lost it, God told Adam, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, so you return to God. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." This was after Adam had sinned. God said, "Dust you are, unto dust you shall return." So Adam was dust. Now, in chapter 4, in verse 14, God had already given dust as food to the devil. He said, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you've done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle.'" That means he was a cat-footed animal. "And more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go," which means you will be limited to this earth. You cannot fly. You cannot ascend. "And you shall eat dust all the days of your life." So after saying this to the devil, then God turned to Adam and said, "Now you are dust." What does it mean? It means that now you are appointed food, the devil. So any man that is in the created order is appointed food for the devil. If you are not born, you see, you are not saved until you are saved. If you are not born again, you are not saved. If you are not born again, you are appointed food for the devil. Because the created order failed God. Adam's order failed. Adam's order collapsed. That is why God had to connect us to another person. I'll show you how God did that. Hello? So, when God called Abraham, God called him out of the created order, and then he used him to chart another order of people who are called by faith. Because it's faith that overcomes the world, So it's the faith that will overcome the limitations and the restrictions of the created order. That is Adam's line. So Abraham, in Genesis 18:27, Abraham said something, was speaking to God. Genesis 18:27. "Then Abraham answered and said, 'Indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord.'" Now he acknowledged that he was dust. And then ashes. Ashes stands for repentance. In Bible days, when people repented and they were sorry, they put ashes on their head. So Abraham was saying that dust but repented. Dust and repentance. Now, because of this, Abraham, God changed his name actually. God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. I want to trace how the seed, the incorruptible seed, was packaged. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. That is even the whole message. You who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone, and blessed him and increased him. Now, he was linking Abraham to the rock. So there's a transition from dust to rock. Now the dust plus ashes. So you can have an equation like dust plus ashes is equal to what? Rock. So if you are dust alone, you are condemned. When ashes comes, that's repentance. Then God puts you on another path, which is the path of those called by faith, the path of the rock. So Abraham is rock. Now that rock nature was the way Jesus Christ came. Because you see, God established a covenant with Abraham. And because of that covenant, God was able to do many things because his dominion had been given to the sons of men. So, for God to be able to give his only begotten son, Abraham had to offer up his only begotten son. Before God could give his son, it was a deal, it was a covenant. God was charting that path. So, God picked something from Abraham's spiritual DNA, which is the rock, to prepare, was specially prepared for Jesus. And the nature of the Lord, of Jesus, is not dust. The nature of Jesus is rock. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4, the Bible says the rock which followed them spiritually was Christ. And that rock was Christ. So you see dust, and Abraham referred to as rock, and then Christ. So Christ's connection was not to Adam. His connection was to Abraham. God intercepted and created a new path, the path of those called by faith. And that was where Christ came from. His connection was to Abraham and not to Adam. Now, that's why, you know, even when Jesus Christ died, you know where they put him? The tomb that he slept in was hewn out of a rock. Matthew 27 verse 16. And laid it in his new tomb, which had been hewn out of the rock. Go to Mark 15, 46. It's the same thing. Then he bought fine linen, took him down and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb, which had been hewn out of the rock. That's very significant. His tomb had to be hewn out of a rock, because you will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You see, dust is corruption. But the rock is the nature of the begotten. The nature of those who are after the order of the call by faith is rock. The nature of the created race is rock, is dust. But the nature of the called race is what? Is what? Rock. That is why Bible refers to us as rocks. In 1 Peter 2:5, it says, but you are living stones. You are living stones. You also are living stones. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God, Jesus Christ. So we are little rocks. We are little rocks. And that makes the church rock. Because when little rocks come together, and then you say, we are living stones being built up. We are being built up into a spiritual house. So the church too is rock. Is identified by because the church is the after the order of the called by faith, not the created race. Hello. So if you are still in the created race, it means that your life is hanging in danger because the devil, you are food for the devil. He has a right over your life, unless you transit from created race through the call by faith race, which is the race by the incorruptible seed. Now, so Abraham, as a head of the called race, he was a head. So we trace our spiritual ancestry to Abraham. It's a spiritual faith connection to Abraham. And as we go along, you understand. You know, Abraham had two lines of descendants. Come to Genesis 22, verse 17. He had two lines of descendants. The natural line and the spiritual line. In blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sun which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Now, these two represents the two lines of Abraham's descendants. One is at the sun of the seashore, and one is at the stars of heaven. The sun of the seashore refers to Abraham's natural seed. his natural descendants. The stars of heaven refers to Abraham's spiritual descendant. So we are part of Abraham's spiritual descendants. We didn't come from Abraham naturally, but I will prove to you from scripture that spiritually we are Abraham's people. In fact, when you read Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, it talks about something. And heirs according to the promise. If you are Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. You see, that's a spiritual connection. Once you are in Christ, it means that you can, God spoke to Abraham, becomes yours. Hello? Now, God was not interested in the natural seed per se. God's main focus was on the spiritual seed of Abraham. He blessed the natural seed, but he did not go with the natural seed. God was Abraham's firstborn. Isaac was Abraham's firstborn. When he gave birth to Ishmael, his name was Abraham. Hello? Are you following? Okay. When he gave birth to Ishmael, his name was Abraham, not Abraham. But when he encountered God and God changed his name, that was when he produced Isaac. So I will show you from scripture that God did not recognize Ishmael as far as the inheritance was concerned, because the inheritance is for sons. And Hebrews 11, 17 will tell you something. Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham and he who had received the promises offered up what? What? Oh, I can't hear you. His only begotten son. Now, that poses a problem. Was Isaac Abraham's only son? Was he Abraham's only son? If Abraham had sons like Ishmael, sons like Midian, you know, Keturah, he married Keturah and gave birth to 6 children. And Midian, the father of Jethro, was one of Abraham's children by Keturah. Hello? So, Isaac was not Abraham's only son, but Isaac was the only begotten. And I said, the inheritance belongs to the begotten sons. Those who belong to the called order. Isaac was called. He was selected. Ishmael was rejected. Now, continue. Continue from this scripture. Of you it was said, in your seed shall I... Okay, shall continue. Continue. I want to get to 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, who was... But here he says, he blessed who? Jacob and Esau. See, God's... By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. You know, I've been reading this scripture as sons of Jacob. Until this morning, when I realized that he blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worship, lean on the top of his staff. Now, he blessed his 12 children, but the Bible just noted the sons of Joseph. So God is not interested in the natural race, as God only counts the spiritual seed. Come to Genesis 2 verse 2. Genesis 2 verse 22 verse 2. Genesis 22 verse 2. Okay. Then he said, that's God talking to Abraham. Take now your son, your only son Isaac. Listen to God's speech. Something is not right. He said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Now, wait a minute. Ishmael was born by this time. Because Ishmael was born as early as chapter what? I think 16. It was 16 that Sarai gave Hagar to Abraham as a wife for 10 years. And they gave birth to Ishmael in chapter 16. Then 17, God appeared and said, after 13 years, God said, Abraham, now walk before me, be perfect. Now he gave Abraham Isaac in chapter 21. And 22, he's saying that, take now your son, your only son. So the thing is that Ishmael was there, but God did not recognize Ishmael. Isaac was the only begotten, because if Abraham was able to give the only begotten, then God too will give his only begotten to do it in cooperation with man. And whenever God is doing something with man, you know what happens? Earth moves before heaven moves. Heaven gives the seed. Earth moves. Whatever is bound on earth is bound where? Whatever is loose on is loose where? In heaven. Before the revival comes, listen, Genesis 7, verse 11, where he said, on that day, the fountains, Genesis 7, verse 11. Okay. In the 600th year of Noah's life, second month, 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up before the windows of heaven were opened. The fountains of the great deep, they were on earth, under the sea. They had to be broken up before the windows of heaven would open. That's the principle. The earth will always have to move. If you don't move, heaven will not respond. Even Genesis 2:4, it said that God did not cause it to rain because there was no man to till the ground. If there's no man to till the ground, heaven will not release any rain. That was just by the way. So, Abraham's covenant with God became an altar that rolled out God's eternal counsel for mankind. Abraham's covenant with God became a platform that rolled out God's eternal purposes and counsel for mankind. Abraham, respect the man Abraham. He's the only one who paradise is named after. The angels carried the Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. Paradise is called Abraham's bosom. That's the place where they called by faith, they go. Abel died first and went to paradise first. He was not called by paradise. Paradise was not called by Abel's name, but Abraham. So spiritually speaking, Abel belongs to the order of Abraham, the order of the called, the selected. God selected Abel, called him, and rejected Cain, Enoch, and all that. So I said the whole Bible from Genesis 12 to Revelation 22 is about one man's vision, Abraham's walk with God. And out of that covenant, Christ came. So Christ came. It was possible for him to come because God had, in cooperation with one man, established a new order, the order of the called by faith. That was why Jesus came. That's how Jesus, God, was able to do. God took certain part out. God took certain things out of Abraham's DNA, spiritual DNA, because the Christ was coming to be a human being, and the scripture cannot be broken. You know, I said some time ago that the fivefold ministry was embedded in Abraham. The fivefold ministry. Abraham had the whole fivefold ministry in him. Everything God did, it had to pass through Abraham in a way. He was an apostle because God sent him. God said, go to a land, I will show you. He was sent. He was an apostle. He was given a specific mandate to raise a nation and nations for God. He was a prophet according to Genesis 20 verse 7. In fact, that's the first time the word prophet is used in the Bible. It said, now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. You see, so a prophet goes with prayer. If you are not prayerful, you cannot be prophetic. You are not a prophet. Don't deceive yourself. Because the first time the word prophet appeared in the Bible, it was in connection with prayer. He is a prophet, and he will pray for you. So intercessors are prophets. That's why he will pray for you. He will intercede for you. We sometimes define things wrongly. We define things by what we see, not by what the Bible says. He was an evangelist. Because when Lot was captured, he went out to rescue Lot. And the work of the evangelist is to go out and rescue the lost. So Abraham rescued Lot, who was lost. He was a pastor. The Bible says he had 318 servants. He said, now when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants, trained, who were born in his own house, Bethel, house of God, pastor. So Abraham was a pastor. He had 318 servants that he was training in his own house. That's a whole congregation. That's not easy. He was training them, and then he armed them. That is equipping. So Abraham reached out to them, discipled them, equipped them, and then released them to go as far as done. That's Abraham. Then he was a teacher. Because in Genesis 18:18, God said, shall I hide anything from Abraham? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations shall be blessed in him. Okay, continue. The verse 19. For I have known him in order that he may command his children, teach his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken. So he was a teacher. So you see the fivefold ministry in Abraham. Hello. Now, the gospel was also first preached to Abraham. Before Jesus Christ came, Galatians 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So the gospel was first preached to Abraham. This gospel that we now have, the gospel that Paul came to preach, Abraham heard it first. Because he was the head of the called order. Everything had to pass through him. Everything. Hello? Yeah. So, even the church, God gave Abraham the church, the vision of the church. Come to Hebrews 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Okay, no, go to verse, go to 9. Okay. Go to verse 8. And let's start from 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, this city was not Canaan. In fact, he was in Canaan. He was living in Canaan. He said he dwelt in a land of promise, just that he couldn't build a house there. He lived in tents. Good. The verse 9 says he dwelt in the land of promise, but he just dwelt in tents. But he was looking for a city whose builder and maker, whose architect is God. And Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. He's the builder. He said, he that builds all things is God. So Abraham was looking for that city, the church. When you listen to the message I preach on wisdom on the path of destiny, I took my time to explain the connection between this and then the heavenly Jerusalem and the church. Hello? So you see that Abraham is connected. That all that Abraham went through, all that he did, God used the DNA of the incorruptible seed. So Jesus, as you see him, he's a combination of many things from Abraham's line. Jesus. He took Abraham's rock nature. He, from Jacob, you know, he was Jacob's ladder. The ladder Jacob saw in Genesis 28, where he said, I saw a ladder standing from the earth to heaven, and angels were ascending and descending upon that ladder. You remember that scripture? Remember that scripture? Genesis 28, I think verse 12. Jesus told Nathanael, he said, I tell you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So, what Jacob saw was a ladder. That was in his spiritual DNA. Jesus took it. Like Joseph, he was sold by his brothers. So when Joseph was being sold by his brothers, it was just something that was to happen in his spiritual DNA for Jesus to come and take it and add to himself. So the same way he was also sold by his brothers, Judas. He took something from Moses. In Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses said, a prophet like me, he said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. Him you shall hear. This is what God repeated to Peter and Co. Said, this, it's not about Moses or Elijah. This my son. Hear him. Because Moses himself said that I will raise a prophet like unto him. And he you must hear. Unto him shall be the gathering of the people. Him. He is the only one who is worthy to be heard. When you read Acts 7:31-37, Stephen also quoted, he said, this is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear. Hello? So you see that Jesus took something from Moses' DNA. Then he took something from David, and all these guys were Abraham's line. He took something from David's DNA. You know what he took from David? A throne. Luke 1:32. He will be great and will be called the son of the highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now, when Jesus Christ came on the scene, where was David's throne? I mean, David's physical throne. Where was it? Did he ever sit? No. But what throne was this? It was a spiritual substance in David's DNA. Rulership and authority. So, David was also connected to Abraham. It was the same line. And Jesus took, God took something from David, his throne, his kingship, the authority, how he had to rule. That is why when you study David's life, you understand God's real authority, how authority works. And I'm going to talk about David after this series, because as I was learning on sonship, I realized that David is somebody who, Abraham and David, David is somebody who exemplifies all that we're talking about. So I'll talk about the key of David. I'll talk about the sure measures of David, the tabernacle of David, and many other things about David. If you study David, you understand Christ. Why they call him Son of David. That was the term that connoted that he was a Messiah. Son of David, have mercy on me. And it was only the Messiah who could open blind eyes. No prophet throughout the Old Testament opened blind eyes. No prophet. Because it was stated in Isaiah that when the Messiah comes, he will open blind eyes. That was something that he was bringing. So when the blind said that, oh, Son of David, have mercy on me. Hello. So Jesus is seated on David's throne. Not a physical throne, but on David's spiritual DNA. That throne, that kingship was in David's DNA. That was all that David accomplished in his life for God. Was for God to pick this DNA and embed it in the incorruptible seed. So the seed was packaged before Jesus came. When Mary said, behold, I'm the Lord's handmaiden, she took seed. The seed she took was the packaged seed containing all these various aspects of Abraham's line. That was put in Mary that came out as Jesus. That is why all the miracles that Jesus did, he only activated patterns that were already existent. That's why he said, the things that I do, you can do. Because all the miracles he did, he activated already existent patterns. These things were already in the line of Abraham. So he came as the main seed of Abraham, and then he replicated all these miracles. And then he expanded them. You will say Jesus turned water into wine. But don't forget that in Abraham's line, somebody turned water into blood. Who was that person? Moses. So Jesus worked that miracle. He took that spiritual DNA from Moses. It was a pattern that was created in the spirit. That's why he said, the things I do, you can do. Because I didn't come with anything from heaven. He left his powers as God in heaven. Bible says he stripped himself of, he made himself of no reputation, and then he took a form of a servant. So Moses turned water into blood. Jesus turned water into wine. Is there any difference? There's no difference. If you can turn water into blood, you can turn water into wine or to grease. Whatever you want to turn it to, you can turn it. So that the thing was there. Now, in 2 Kings 4, verse 42 to 47, look at something. 2 Kings 4, 42. Then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread, and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, give it to the people that they may eat. But his servant said, what? What? Shall I set this before 100 men? He said again, give it to the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. So he set it before them, and ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. Now, did Jesus do a miracle like this? In John chapter 6, verse 7 to 14, Bible says that, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has five barley loaves. Five what? Five wheat or barley. Now, what kind of bread did Elisha multiply? Barley loaves. And two small fish. That was an addition. That one, there's an explanation for that. But what are they among so many? You see, the same question they asked Elisha, the same question they are asking Jesus. And the same results, they ate, continue. Then he said, may the people sit down. Okay, continue to verse 14. Okay, no, 13. Therefore, they gathered up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. So, Elisha multiplied bread, 20 loaves, fed 100 people. And there were some left over, barley loaves. Jesus Christ came, five barley loaves, fed thousands of people, and there were some left over. He only replicated already existing patterns. This morning, as I was going through this, the Lord said, the way we are to live in this end time is to get certain keys that will open certain doors. Certain understanding, a certain kind of understanding. If you understand these things, you will see that you will see a lot of things. Hello? Now, Jesus walked on water. Well, Moses parted the Red Sea. Is that not walking on water? That's walking in water, right? And he was walking on water. Same thing now. No water will touch you. Elijah parted River Jordan. But Jesus came and said, now, you guys, I want to take it a step further. I'm going to walk on water. And he walked on water. Now, not as God, as man. Hello? So, our prophetic DNA, the seed that is in us, that's why I said that the seed that is, if you understand the seed that is in us, you understand why he said, anyone who believes in me, see, faith, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works. That's why he did also what Moses did, but he did greater. He did what Elisha did, but he did greater. Are you getting me? Elisha just fed 100 people. He fed thousands. He did what Moses did, but he did greater. Because blood, wine is sweeter than blood. We don't want, Moses' one was judgment. His own was a blessing. A blessing. He said, you have saved the good wine till now. We have the old wine. We have the new wine. You know the new wine. He said, you don't put new wine in old wine skin. But we have the now wine. So Jesus Christ brought the now wine. He said, you have saved the good wine till now. Now wine. If you want to enjoy God's blessing, you must be a now person. Be current with the Spirit. Now, the seed in us has all these features encoded in its DNA. Therefore, when you are born again, you only need the right diet and the right environment. Your peculiar prophetic genetic encoding will start manifesting. It's a faith connection to Abraham, Abraham's line. All the great people in Abraham's line, we are connected to them potentially. Even as I'm speaking, we are connected to them, all the great people. Because they are our siblings. By faith in Christ, we become seed of Abraham, and therefore we are heirs according to the promise. So somebody in your family, somebody in your family escaped the mouth of a lion. Somebody in your family was put in lion's den and lion did not chew him. That is encoded in our DNA. It's there. It's there. Yes. We need to have that understanding and accept it. After you've accepted it, then you can grow in it. Somebody in our family an army came after him. And he just prayed and they all became blind. That's Elisha. He's in our family. The same DNA is in us. That's our prophetic encoding. When you go through the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11, you see your family album. The Bible shows you your family album. You see, and you always see by faith. By faith. It's a faith connection. By faith, not by flesh. Not because they were Abraham's natural seed, no, but by faith. That's why most of the things they did were not recorded. Only the things they did by faith. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the fact that God will visit them and he told them to carry his bones along by faith. All the other things they didn't do by faith was not recorded. All the other things like, you know, giving instructions to Egypt, buying their lands, all the great things he did in Egypt, none of them made it to the Hall of Faith. The only thing he said by faith, that was what was written. So it's a faith connection. So this one is our brother. He's in our family. And then he's doing this. It means that if you conduct your DNA test, the sibling test, you will find Joseph in. Hello? If you conduct the sibling test, you will find Daniel in. These are all Abraham's line. You will find Elijah in. You will find Elisha in. You will find David in. If you it's in you. If you conduct the test, spiritual DNA test, you see David's genes. Because they are all encoded in the seed that we now have as an incorruptible seed. These people, our brothers, now we call them the great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12:1, the Bible says, seeing that we are encompassed by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, he said, therefore, when you see the word therefore, you must ask yourself what the therefore is there for. You are saying something. Then he said, therefore, which means that because of what I've already said, are you getting me? And what he was saying was chapter 11, the hall of faith. And he said that because of this, therefore, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So all these guys whose names were mentioned, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Gideon, Jephthah, Barak, all these people, he said, they were all a great cloud of witnesses. And that's not only that. He mentioned just a few. He said, time will fail me. He wasn't able to mention all. Now we have a connection to all these people. Now, Paul and Co, they are all part of the great cloud of witnesses, including people, contemporary people who have died, who are believers. They all go and join the great cloud of witnesses. They are there. They are just here. They are the ones who receive Jesus. The Bible says, and the cloud received him out of their sight. In Acts 1:11, it said, as they watched him, he ascended, and a cloud, and a cloud received him. Come to verse 9, I think verse 9. Yes. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. That cloud was the believers. I'm going to be dealing with the blessed hope, second coming of Christ, and end time issues, maybe in ministers retreat. You understand that when Jesus is coming, he will be coming with the saints. They are all there. They are part of the cloud of witnesses. Cloud. So when you look at the cloud, it reminds you that they are all around. Hello? Now, God is waiting for the cloud to become full so that he will empty the rain. There are some people who must join them. When they join and the number is complete, the rain will be released. When the clouds are full, they empty themselves. When the clouds are full with rain. Now, Ephesians 3:15 talks about the fact that we have a spiritual family. From verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's why in our declaration we say that we acknowledge the spirits of just men made perfect, the great cloud of witnesses, and members of our family in heaven. Not members like your aunties and uncles, but members of our family, spiritual members. Our heritage, our ancestry. These spiritual people, believers, they are members of our family in heaven. He said, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth. So the church is a family on earth, and the people in heaven, they are also a family in heaven. All the time, we have interactions with them. All the time. God, they are all part of the church. They are all part of the family. We are all siblings. We are all siblings. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22-24, we see them. The spirits of just men made perfect. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. See, this is part of our declarations. Okay? The heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, made complete, spirits of just men, believers, who have finished their work on this earth. When you finish your work and you leave this earth, you join the great cloud of witnesses. And let me tell you, those people, they are not concerned about your physical life or material life. They are concerned about your spiritual life. Kenneth Hagin had a vision. He had lost somebody and he was grieving. They had a vision. Then he went to heaven. Then he met this person that he had lost. And they were conversing. And the person told him that, you know, those of us here, we are not concerned with your physical progress. We are concerned with your spiritual progress. Then he said that when something happens in your life spiritually, sometimes they get to know. God allows them to know. Because they are witnesses. A witness is somebody who says what he has seen or heard. If they don't say, how can they witness? And they are like spectators who are cheering us on. So they see us. They see the spiritual progress. They see that my son that I left behind is making progress spiritually. If it is your husband, you see that your husband, if you die, you go to heaven, you will see that your husband is making spiritual progress. When he marries another wife, you will not see. That one you will not see. But when he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, you will see. When he responds to the ministry, you will see. And you will be happy that your husband is making progress. It's the same thing. Your auntie, your mother, your grand, if they were born again, they are part of the great cloud of witnesses. And sometimes God even allows you to interact with them. Well, I was explaining that. I'm not talking about the New Age type where you say that when somebody dies, goes to you, the person is always following you and the person is praying for you. They can be praying for you, but you can't pray to them. I'll show you that they can be praying for you, but you can't pray to them. Hello? You can encounter them. You can encounter them. You can receive something from the inheritance. I had a dream in 2012. And I met this man of God who is alive. Then he prayed for me. Then he told me that you must receive something from Idahose's inheritance. Then in 2015, I had a dream, September 3rd. Idahose came. Idahose is dead long ago. He died in 1998. He came in the dream and he confirmed the apostolic calling on my life. And then he blessed me. Now, that was somebody who is part of my spiritual inheritance. I trace my prophetic encoding. He's of the same line. So God released him to come and confirm something in my life. Hello? You can receive spiritual impartation from people. I'm talking about believers. Not unbelievers, believers. Especially people who were used by God. They have spiritual inheritance, DNA, in their DNA. And when you are connected to their flow, it's not surprising that you encounter them. I will show you why Jesus had to encounter Moses and Elijah. He needed what they had for resurrection. Because Elijah never died. Moses too didn't die by death. He died by the word of God. And I will show it to you that they came to Jesus to talk about his death. Before I show you that, come to Revelation chapter 8. This one, the things I saw. Eh? 8 verse 3 to 4. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was giving much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Now, listen. Our prayers, they are already like incense. So why did he have to add incense to our prayers? Bible says Psalm 144, is it 44 or 41? 41, yes. 141 verse 2. He said, let my prayer be as incense, sweet incense. Let my prayer be set before you as incense. And the lifting of my hand as the evening sacrifice. So our prayers are incense. But he says that he added incense to the prayers of the saints. Now, there are prayers. He said, prayers of all saints. Prayers of all saints. The saints. There are prayers people have prayed, which are still alive in the realms of the spirit. They are still alive. Like this revival we're talking about. People have prayed about revival. For us, way back as 40 years, 40 something years ago, people started praying about Kumasi City revival. So all these prayers, they are not wasted prayers. They are still very much alive. They are incense. When we pray, God adds all those prayers as incense to our prayers. That's why for revival to break, I see, when we start praying for revival, God goes into the prayer storeroom. He removes all these prayers of the various saints who have been praying for Kumasi. Then he adds the prayers as incense to our prayers. Because those people, they are still alive. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of the living, not the dead, because they are still alive before God. So they are members of our family in heaven, members of our spiritual family. We have similar genetic encodings. Similar genetic encodings. Now, every believer, you have a unique prophetic encoding. That's why there are certain people who you may see in dreams, this person may not see. And maybe you will see somebody in dreams, the person will come and lay hands on you and pray for you. It only means that you have the same prophetic encodings. Sometimes God uses them to release or to unlock certain things that are also in you. They know you. They know you. There are some people you don't know but don't know in the natural, but they know you, know them in the spirit. There are some people I've never spoken to them in the natural, but in the spirit, I always speak. They always come talk to me. Certain men of God that I've not even seen them physically, face to face, talk to them, but they always come to me to talk, and they talk as if they really really know me. Sometimes they will end here. They'll come and continue. You know, sometimes they'll be talking to you about private things. Now, God is using that to let me know the flow, the stream I am connected to. When you know that stream, then you protect it. Be careful. There are some people you can never get to talk about them. Never. Never, no matter what. You can't. Why? Because I am connected to their stream. If you muddy your stream, you will be drinking corrupted river. There are some certain things I may not want to hear. Why? When I see that I'm connected to this stream in the spirit, and I prefer spiritual impartation to physical impartation. Many people, when they hear the man of God has come to town, they run. I want him to lay hands on me. Sometimes it's nothing. Because the lane of fans that will be effective is the one that has the same genetic, spiritual genetic encoding as you. Otherwise, it will only stir up certain things. It will not impart. Hello? You can see them in dreams. I've seen many people who are dead, like Kenneth Hagin, who is dead. I've seen him several times in my dreams, teaching me things. Sometimes laying hands on me, sometimes telling me, follow me. I've seen many people in dreams. Many, many people. Many, I can count many of them. Some of them are dead. Some of them are still alive. Some of them who are still alive, God is telling me that you have the same stream. Those who are dead, they are still alive in the spirit. They come to unlock and to impart certain things out of their inheritance. Because whatever they achieve is still there. He said, blessed are those who die in Christ. Their works follow them. Their works do not die. Their works are still following. Not die. Now, so you can have they can pray, they can impart and all that, but whatever they tell you should never contradict the Bible. Should never contradict the Bible. And they cannot tell you anything that is contrary to Scripture. Hello? Yes. Rick Joyner had a vision, and he saw one of such people, and he asked him a question. He said, can you tell me what existed in the first world? Then he said, it's not wisdom for you to ask, and I cannot say anything that is not written in Scripture. That's a test to see that this one was from God. You know, John the Apostle on the island of Patmos had a revelation that brought the book of Revelation, a vision. Now, when you read Revelation 1:1, you think that it said the revelation of Jesus Christ. Pause here. Revelation of who? Everything in the book of Revelation about Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist, not the beast, not the false prophet, not the great harlot, everything is about Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified by it by his angel to his servant John. Now, John saw this guy as an angel, and the guy was showing John so many things. When they got to Revelation 19, look at what happened. Revelation 19, verse 10. Now, this is John speaking to the angel that he saw. And I fell at his feet to worship, because he was showing him many things. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am what? Your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now he said, don't worship me because I am your fellow servant and of your brethren. He saw him as an angel, but he was one of us. He was a saint, a departed saint. I mean, a departed believer who had been sent by God to show him certain things. He was not a heavenly angel. He said, I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren. Which means that I'm one of you. I'm one of you. So you can now Jesus encountered Moses and Elijah, and both of them were dead. And why was it necessary for him to encounter them? Come to Luke 9:30. Luke 9:30. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah. Continue. Who appeared in glory and spoke of his disease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. The word disease is death. So Moses and Elijah, they appeared to talk to Jesus about his death. And why didn't Joshua and Elisha appear? Why? Because Moses and Elijah, they had something that Jesus needed for his death, resurrection. You see here, do you know that Joshua conquered more territories than Moses? If Moses took only two, Joshua conquered 31 nations. Elisha did more miracles than Elijah. Elijah did 14. Elisha did 28, double portion. But Joshua was Moses' son. Elisha was Elijah's son. But when it came to glory, it was the fathers that were called, not the sons. When it came to come and see Jesus, it was the fathers. It was Moses and Elijah, not Joshua and Elisha. So you see, your miracles and your power and everything does not guarantee your rank. Your gifting does not guarantee your rank. Your father is your father, whether you like it or yes. I can prove to you from scripture that Samuel was an accurate prophet, that none of his words fell to the ground. Samuel. But he wasn't early. The reason why God did that was that the spirit, you see, Elijah was the only person in the Bible whose spirit was preserved. The spirit of Elijah. That's why he didn't die. And before Jesus could ascend to heaven as man, God had to make sure that in his DNA, there was somebody who had ascended to heaven as man. That's why Elijah was translated. God wanted to create that pattern. Otherwise, Jesus couldn't have done that. So God created that pattern and said, Elijah, come up here. And Elijah went to heaven without dying. And said, oh, then my son too can do that because he's a human being like Elijah. Elijah was a man of like passions. Hello? So he picked the resurrection seed or DNA from Elijah and Moses. Moses, mind you, Moses died, but Moses did not die because he died. He was there and God said, call Joshua in front of all the people and put your hand on him so that your spirit will rest upon him and take some of your honor in Numbers, I think 27, and take some of your honor and put it on Joshua. Some of your honor means some of your authority, and put it on Joshua. Then he said, now go to the mountain and die. So as he was leaving, all of them knew that he was going. Bible says he was 120 years. His natural force was not abated. His eyes were not dim. He didn't die because he was sick. So he went to the mountain and then God just took him. And God buried his body somewhere. God buried his body somewhere. Bible says nobody knew Moses' burial place. So how did Lucifer get to know? How was he fighting with Angel Michael over the body of Moses? When Elijah was going to heaven, you see, scripture cannot be broken. It says the dead in Christ will rise first. But when they rise, those who are alive will be caught up with those who are dead and risen, and then we will go. He said, they shall not precede us. So Elijah had to go with Moses. It was when he was going that he was going to say, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. That Satan said, hey, no, I won't let him go. Because nobody knew where God buried Moses. And when he went to the mountain, he was not coming back. Even Joshua dared not conclude that Moses was dead. Even though he knew that Moses was going not to come back, he never concluded. Because in Joshua 1, God said, and the Lord said to Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now arise. It was God who told Joshua that Moses was dead. He said, my servant Moses is dead. Now arise. You see, can't we learn from Joshua? Joshua is like David. When Moses was on the mountain for 40 days, was it not Aaron that they put to say, this Moses, we don't know what has become of him. Make gods for us, let's go. And then they made gods. But Joshua, he waited. So that's why we have the spirit of Elijah coming back this end time. Why? Because his spirit was preserved. That anointing was preserved. Because in Luke 1:17, look at Luke 1:17. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This was about John the Baptist. He said he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. The spirit. So that spirit was replicated. And the spirit of Elijah will come back again before the coming of the Lord. Because that spirit always comes when the people of God have missed the way. It's a spirit of revival or revolution that brings the people of God back on track. Because if John had not come, they would have missed the Messiah. At that time, they had clearly missed God. John came as a reflection of the people that he was sent to. The same way he was unkempt and he had dressed sharply. That was the spiritual state of Israel. They had two high priests, two heads on one body. It never used to be so. They had synagogues. There was no synagogues in the Old Testament. And they had many sects, groupings. But John came through the path of righteousness and he cleared the way. And God had the spirit of Elijah. And that same spirit will be released in the body. Before Jesus, in this end time, many people are going to be called by God. And what they are going to be doing is that they are going to chart the path. They are going to return the church back to the good old path. I was chatting with a man of God this morning. He sent me a message. He said, "Daddy, I'm very disappointed in so and so and so and so." He said, "I went to the program and it's like all the things are secular. The messages that are coming, they are not, and they have gathered the youth and they are just filling them with motivation." And I said, "Well, that is why God is calling you and I. That's why God is calling us. Because when you have a certain kind of understanding, certain things will not appeal to you." Hello? So, the spirit of Elijah. So you can know your spiritual prophetic encoding. It's possible to know. You can know the stream. You know how you know. You can know them through dreams, through prophecy, through inner spiritual sensing. There are some people, you will see that as part of your dreams, you will encounter a certain rich man. You don't understand why you've encountered this businessman, this rich person that you've encountered. It shows that there's something in you that must bring out riches. It's part of your prophetic encoding. It's part of your prophetic encoding. You may meet somebody and you see that this person is a leader. It's in you. God is showing you that. Have you seen this person? The same, you are drinking from the same stream. You belong to the stream. And especially if you see, it happens frequently. Sometimes it's through word of prophecy. You will get to know God's plan for your life. Sometimes somebody, God will tell you that I'll make you like Deborah. Prophetess Deborah in the Bible. Or I've made you an Esther. Or I've made you Joseph. I've made you... Have you not heard such things before? Yes. The prophet is reading your spiritual genetic code to know what is encoded in your DNA. So giving the right diet and the right environment, you will by all means manifest that. You see, Osno, an elephant is an elephant. All that he needs is a right diet, to live long. He will become a big elephant. An elephant is not like a sheep. A sheep has a different genetic encoding. Hello? So when you see a baby elephant and you think that the baby elephant is older than the sheep, you may be mistaken. Even though he's bigger in size, he's not older. The sheep, my brother has some dogs. They are very, very little, tiny. And when you see that, you think they are puppies, but that's their growth. And one of them has given birth. She's like a puppy. And her children are also like puppies. When they grow, they will become just... It's the same thing, spiritually speaking. So when you belong to the genetic encoding of the hand, you will not become a leg. You will grow to become a hand. But now maybe you are a finger, but you will grow to become a hand. So when you see your encoding, then you focus on that. Get the right diet, right environment. You see that you will grow. There's no struggle. Anything you struggle to do, it may not be in your encoding. Yes. It's not everybody who, let's say, will be called to preach. We've all been called to preach the gospel, but through different means. Some people have been called to the pulpit. There are some people, they have not been called to the pulpit. Some have been called to business and the pulpit at the same time. You have to know your encoding, the kind of pictures God will show you. Will tell you that you, for some of us, me for instance, my name Joseph is a spiritual picture of my encoding. That's what the Lord has told me. So I will interpret dreams and also manage grains. I spoke in parables. You interpret dreams and manage grains. That's what I told you. Don't say that. You interpret dreams and manage grains. Yes. Okay, I'm ending. Even in the ministry, there are various encodings, various streams. The apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, teaching. These five basic streams have different tributaries. And different blends, different combinations. There are people who are apostolic teachers, apostolic pastors, apostolic evangelists, apostolic prophets, apostolic apostles. They are prophetic evangelists, they are prophetic pastors, prophetic teachers. In fact, the prophetic has many streams. Many, many streams. Once you get the rudiments of the prophetic, you must start asking yourself, what stream do I belong to? Because we have people who are prophets who only write. Others only teach, but they are prophets. Others sing only, but they are prophets. It's a genetic, spiritual genetic encoding. You can be a mixture of many, many graces. You can be a person like Joseph with a coat of many colors. You can tap something small from here, from there, from there, from there, from there. Then God will mix all up. Then it becomes your unique prophetic encoding. But you will see this trace here, this trace here. Your eyes are like this. Your ear is like your grandmother. Your face is like your father. Your hair, how your the texture of your hair is like your ankle. You are made of many parts. That is why, in fact, let me, as I'm ending, sometimes God may, when God leads you to release money, you don't see, is it? Let me say this. It's not every anointing that you can tap with money. Don't waste your money. I'm telling you, it's not every anointing that you say, oh, I've seen this man of God, I like his anointing, let me go and sow a seed. You have to be led. When God directs you to go and sow into this anointing, it's part of your prophetic encoding. And sometimes you make a shift by sowing. Abraham sowed into Melchizedek. You see, I don't have time to go into it, but you see, Melchizedek was Christ revealed in the Old Testament. And he had to meet Abraham because Abraham was the head of the called order. So the king and the priest and the prophetic office embedded in Melchizedek, he had to go to introduce himself to Abraham. What did Abraham do? Abraham sowed into his life. What happened? You see, Bible says when he's paid tithe, Levi, who was in Abraham's loins, was paying tithe. That is a spiritual seed sowing. As he showed it to me, he said, Levi was paying. You know the blessing he gave Abraham? He said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and of earth. So your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. One seed sowing, strategic, prophetic, spiritual. And because it had the same encoding, when he sowed the seed, something was released. Be led. Let God speak to you and say, go and sow a seed in. Don't just say that I'm going to sow a seed in this man of God's life because I like his anointing. I'm not saying it's bad, it's good. It's good. But that's you can't tap an anointing, his anointing, because it's not God who asks you to use the seed, money as seed to release it. Before Abraham met Melchizedek, it was Abraham. It was after the seed sowing that some years later God said, now you are Abraham. God knew what he was doing. He had to buy into a certain something that was in the spirit. These are spiritual matters. So in your DNA, there are many things in your DNA as a believer. The supernatural is in your DNA. It's there. Christians should not be baffled by the supernatural. It's part of our encoding. The Christianity itself is supernatural. It was birthed in a spiritual way, in the upper room, supernatural way. Faith is in your DNA. You don't struggle. Faith is there, already there. God has dealt with each one the measure of faith. Romans 12:3 is already there. He has given everybody faith. Love is in your DNA. Romans 5:5. The Holy Spirit has shed abroad love of God in our heart. It's already there. It's in your prophetic encoding. You just need the right information and the right environment. It will just come up. So there's no believer who can say, I cannot love. I cannot forgive. You are a liar. It's not true. Dominion is in your DNA. Dominion is in your DNA. As a believer, it's in you. I said you only need the right information and the right environment. Whatever is in you will come up. Hello. When I talk about the inheritance of sons, you understand why God had to allot land to the various tribes. The inheritance goes to the sons, goes to those who are begotten, not the created race. I want us to be on our feet. Let's pray. There are some things that I couldn't share, but I will share. I'll find a way of sharing them next week. I want us to pray this prayer that God should give us a revelation, an understanding of our prophetic encoding, the various combinations of prophetic spiritual DNA traits that God has embedded in us, that God should grant us the grace to be able to get connected to it. Let's pray. Mandirebeko za tala makalo sinarabas. Kike bahadabazo telebesh. Rebeka malama sandelebeko za tala maha. Kema ko malama zikrobolo shiriatara. Ko mande brede kasikele mekoli masatara. Ko mirebe sina mahado malakande brede kenemose. Poke barabasandelebeha lo shiriamba. Hi mahantana makuli hase. Rebeka libaha debraha sokere bahasa. Ramate mande mroko zantolomboko shahan. Reikoba sikaha talaba. To be effective tools in the hands of God, we need to know the spiritual encoding, the spiritual DNA, genetic encoding that we have, and we need to position ourselves to be deployed effectively by God. In the name of Jesus, grant us grace. Grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And revelation in the knowledge of you that we may know in the name of Jesus. Kamaraba Siria Lebusi, Likra Talama Talama Labose, Moke Brekano Salabaham, Rike Parama Sikolomosete, Rike Pande de Behatan de Baha, Inkolomokoza Talamiha, Moka Palia Sote, Rike Panibro Husanda, Hinkampa Tata Mahata, Likatalabaleta, Rike Bo Salama. Repande dawa salopaha. Rapa lakota. Breke petata. Makene mokota. Raboko zata. Minkolomo sante. Ratane makasukaha. Ye mere batila bahasulia. Bandorobo sante. Rika lusele. Palose lehanga. Branta la mahati kekeke. Kandi pretete. Reke bahasikehe. Rondo sali kratome. Ibahade santa. Ikataya la bahasa. In the name of Jesus. I want us to pray this prayer. This morning as I prepared this person, I was praying. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord said that there are many people that he's going to give a refreshing to. And the Lord showed me a very dry land. And he said, that's the condition of many people. But he said that today, after this teaching, he's going to pour rivers upon many dry lands. And your land is going to be flooded with water. God is bringing an end to the spiritual drought. There are some of you that even you, your dreams have ceased. God is breathing a fresh breath of air over your dreams, over your ministry, over your Christian life. Some people's prayer lives have gone down, but God is touching it. God is bringing a refreshing. God is bringing a rejuvenation over your prayer life, over your steady life, over your steady life. There some people are tired spiritually. They are tired. They have hung their boots spiritually, and they are saying that it's difficult for me to live the Christian life, and I'm tired. I cannot live life anymore. God is bringing strength. He's bringing strength. He's strengthening the knees that wobble. He's strengthening the hands that hangs loosely. God is bringing strength and stability. Ibrahim do shantam. Holy atalabam. Limanahatuni mikata. Rekeke bahasa. Rapata. Rebre tetolosata. Manterebeko sitaha. O bahatana mahatada. May God open our eyes to see how the great cloud of witnesses, they are cheering us on. How they are telling you, go ahead, don't give up, you are almost there. How they are happy for you, how they are happy for the progress you are making. How you don't see you are making progress, but they are seeing it and they are cheering you on. May God open our eyes to see how they are encouraging us, how they are saying, go on, brother, go on, sister, you are almost there, don't give up, you're almost there, don't give up, you've almost crossed the line, don't give up. Lama hatorobo sita, makere meno sita raba, ikorobo shanta, brote te bahasala, reke pete ten, makere metorobo sa, reke palamaham, repaka paloko sete, makere malo sita laha, gike ke potelesa, makantos, repele mosen, repele misalaha, rikatana makere mosata, in the name of Jesus. We are praying this last but one prayer. The Lord told me that he said that after this series on Sunday, he's going to touch us. We are praying that God should prepare our hearts for his touch. Whatever form the touch would take, whether it's going to come in encounters, whether it's going to come in sudden revelation, whether it's going to come in a sudden flash of light in our hearts to understand the scriptures, or a sudden boldness, that God should prepare our heart for the touch that he promised that he will touch us. Let's pray him. In the name of Jesus. Komalamataliatoromos. Lankatabala basata. Kimatonomokosita he. Repetele makata. Koli berebesa. Mantele mekosa. Rebeka pan. Numbatala mahadese. Imatale mikatolo. Lo salamahata. Rambatani protosota. Pali prantanomokosa. Ike pirihasa. Rambatande, repetata, rapaka, romasande, inkolomose, renike kolo, rabalabasa, rimakante, minko mantene, ribulosite, rekekeka, ropa lebaraha, ribalamasa, rebeketo, rabalamasiriande, renekozinte, brutanamaha, ikatate, ikototo, antatala, inkatapa,
Rupatete, Ikatata, Bikatolome, Valimata, Yamedebe Soli, Ripata Libi, Rampatolimbi, Antinibaham, Inkotorubahasa. Prepare our hearts, O God, for us to respond to your touch. Even if it's a soft touch, even if it's a soft touch, let our hearts be sensitive to your touch, O God, in the name of Jesus. E Mahatanimi, Le Krolosa, Romahatata, Ramakozele, Yele Makuta, Redekala, Ramakola. Yase, Rene Kotose, Mantetelaha, Riketelebaha, Moselehe, Riketato, Ramakaka, Ramataramasa, Rekeke, Ipalamasita. In the name of Jesus, we are praying the last prayer for Ghana. We are asking for the mercy of God to fall on Ghana. Let God have mercy upon Ghana. Let the powers of God be activated and released upon this nation. We are bringing Ghana before God. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. Father, have mercy on Ghana. In the name of Jesus. Spare Ghana, O God. In the name of Jesus. Protect us, O God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ghana will not die. Ghana will live. In the name of Jesus, Ghana will take a place as the firstborn of Africa. In the name of Jesus, prosperity is coming to Ghana. In the name of Jesus, revival is coming to Ghana. In the name of Jesus, prosperity is coming to Ghana. In the name of Jesus, let your hand be lifted, O God, over this nation. Let us divine strong man over this nation be empowered and be stronger to wage warfare for the church. In the name of Jesus, let the voice of the church be lifted high above. The voice, any other voice in this nation, let the banner of Christ be lifted high. In the name of Jesus, let the banner of Christ be lifted high in this nation, Ghana. In the name of Jesus, that God may do all that he has planned to do in this nation. In the name of Jesus, prosperity, anointing, healing of the soul of the nation. In the name of Jesus, healing of the soul of the nation. In the name of Jesus, let Ghana be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. We pray that you will help us, Lord. Grant us grace, mercy, favor. Grant us the knowledge and understanding of our spiritual, prophetic, genetic encoding. But Father, we will be deployed effectively in your hand. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may take your seat.